Luke chapter number 22. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I'm glad that phone rang. I needed something to break the ice. I'm nervous. Luke, I even forgot my water. My 15-minute glass of water.
Amen.
Brother Vic, where were you when I needed you? Big bottle of water. Luke chapter number 22. Verse 31, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I was driving in my van yesterday, and the Lord gave me an outline for a message. We've been studying the life of Peter in junior church, and God gave me an outline. And I thought, well, that's great, but that's way over their heads. And about an hour later, I got a phone call, and the preacher said, can you preach tomorrow night? Are you ready? Do you need more time? I said, I'm ready. I had the outline. I had a professor in college, and he said that he always knew when Pastor Sexton was going to ask him to preach in chapel or in church because God gave him an outline. And a couple days later, Pastor Sexton would say, Brother Kaiser, you want to preach? He'd say, oh, yeah. That's the way it worked. So God gave it. He had it all prepared, all planned out. But in Luke chapter number 22, verse 31, the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice the phrase in verse 32. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted. Tonight I'd like to preach on this subject, the conversion of Peter. The conversion of Peter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. And God, I pray that you'll fill me with thy spirit. Lord, help me to only say that which you'd have me to say. And Lord, I pray that you'll seal this message to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, we'll know that we've been with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And they're in the upper room, sitting around the table, probably, and they just got finished arguing over who was going to be greater or lesser. And Jesus, always teaching, looks at Peter and he says, Peter, look at me. Look at me. Behold. Like we tell Sammy, look at me when I'm talking to you. And he does, you know. Jesus says, Peter, look at me. Satan wants to have you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to sift you. Wants to sift you as wheat. But he doesn't want to keep the wheat, the good part. He wants to keep the chaff, the worthless part. He wants to make you worthless. He wants to destroy your life. Then he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Isn't it good that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us? Amen. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He prays for us. He prays for us. And he said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He says, when Satan is trying to sift you, when Satan is desiring to have you, and he's doing his worst in your life, he said, I want you to know something. I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail, that you'll always look to me, that you'll always trust me, even in that time of your life, even in that time of sifting. He says, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And then he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus had something for Peter to do. He had something for Peter to do, strengthen the brethren. And if you read 1 and 2 Peter, you see how the Lord used Peter to strengthen his brethren. And Jesus is saying here to Peter, I want to use you in an extraordinary way, but I can't until you're converted. I can't use you like I want to use you until you're converted. And that doesn't mean saved. He was already saved. He was already a child of God on his way to heaven. It just meant that there were things in Peter's life that needed not to be there anymore. They needed to be changed. Peter was a hothead. he was impetuous and tempestuous, maybe you might say. He was what one writer said, the disciple who had a foot-shaped mouth. And I identify with him. Amen. I identify with that. I think many of us identify with that at one time or another. We have foot-shaped mouths. And this man, who some people called a reed, but Jesus said, you're a rock. Right. It wasn't very rock-like at some times of his life, But God says, or the Lord Jesus says, when thou art converted, then I'm going to do some things. I'm going to do some things in your life. And that's the way God has for us. That's what God has for us. It's what God wants for us. Right. We'll never be all that we can be for Christ. We'll never do all that God wants to do through us for Christ until we're changed, until we're converted,
Amen.
Transformed, if you will. Transformed. And again, Peter was a hothead. We'll see some more of that. He denied Christ. He tried to cut off the ear of one of the servants, Malchus. Jesus put it back on. We'll get to that. He did a lot of things, but something happened, or some things happened in Peter's life that made him change, that converted him. And I want to look at them tonight. Just a few of them. Three. The first thing I want to look at are the miracles. This verse that we just read, these two verses, it's going to be kind of a jumping off point. We're going to look at a few things and maybe turn into a few scriptures here. We will be turning into a few scriptures. But for this first point, we see the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus. What did it take, and what will it take for us to be converted? What did it take for Peter to be converted? Number one, it took the miracles of Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. The Bible says in John 6, verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were deceased. And that's the same way it was for Peter. These people were following Jesus because they wanted to see what he was going to do. And Peter was the same way. And think about what Peter saw. He saw the water turn to wine. He saw lame men healed. He saw blind receive their sight again. He went fishing and caught a fish and opened the fish's mouth, and there was money in it. Did that ever happen to you, Brother Joe? No. You go fishing a lot more than I do. You don't catch any fish. Well, maybe it wouldn't happen then. I don't know. But can you imagine that, out fishing, find money? I think I'd quit my job if that happened all the time. Go fishing. I don't even like to fish. Think of all the miracles Peter saw. Think of all of them. He was there when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter. He was there when the Lord Jesus calmed the sea. And the first time he calmed the sea, the disciples said, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." He said, "Look at who is this guy?" Who is this man? Who is he? Where did he come from that he can control the winds and the waves? He saw miracles.
Amen.
And then when Peter walked on the water, at the end of that, they said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." No more of "what manner of man is this?" They said, "He's the Son of God."
Amen.
There's no doubt about it. He's the Son of God.
Right.
These miracles.
Yes.
Miracles. He saw the feeding of the 5,000 plus. 5,000 men plus women and children. We can't even feed six. 5,000, I guess if they ate fish and crackers, it wouldn't be bad. But he saw all those miracles, all of them, and it did something for him. Think about the miracles we've seen. I can tell you a few that I've seen. When Sammy was born, about a week into his life, we had to take him to the hospital because he wasn't breathing right, and they said he had a respiratory virus, and then they sent him home after a couple of days, and he got worse and worse. Rushed him to the doctor, and then the doctor's office, a pediatrician, put him in an ambulance and rushed him to the hospital. It's my son that I prayed for. 3 weeks before we found out Beth was expecting a baby, I prayed that God would give us a son, and here he was, rushing into the hospital, thinking he was going to die. Supposed to have 90, or supposed to have 100% oxygen in his blood. He was at 80%. The doctor said, "He'll be all right." And he was. He's all right. But the doctor said that he'd be sickly for the next 2 years, for the first 2 years of his life. But he was walking at 8 months. Not sickly at all. A little skinny maybe, but not sickly. Not sickly at all. That's a miracle.
Amen.
That did something for me. Did something for me. And when the quartet from Crown was in that awful accident, the van burned to nothing. The only thing left, I knew all of them, all five of them. And Beth and I had been to one of their houses in West Virginia. These were good friends. And it devastated the college, devastated us. Until we heard this story, when that van burned to the ground. You've heard it. The only thing that was left was the CD that said, God makes no mistakes. Amen. That's a miracle.
Sure.
That's a miracle. That helped me. That did something for me. Last Wednesday night, Carmen and her son, Andreas, hadn't been here in 2 years, walked in the back door. He had an appointment with the Lord.
Yeah.
And Andreas came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Amen. That's a miracle. And that does something for me. When you see God do those things, that helps me. That changes me. And Peter saw these miracles, and they changed him. They changed him. The Bible says in John 10, verse 25, the works that I do, Jesus is speaking, he says, the works that I do in the Father's name, they bear witness of me. When we see Jesus do all these works and all these miracles, we see all the ones in the Bible and all the ones that he's done for our own lives and in our own lives and in our church. We see all these miracles. They bear witness of the Father. They bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And so when Peter saw the miracles of Jesus, it did something for him. It changed him.
Amen.
Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren.
Right.
What's it going to take to convert you, Peter? The miracles. He says, I've shown you the miracles. The miracles of Jesus. Number two, the mercy of Jesus. Back in Luke 22, the mercy of Jesus. He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And in verse 33, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? They said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And then we'll skip down to verse 50, just for sake of time. Verse 50, Jesus said, back in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And in verse 50, before he denies him, the Bible says, one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Well, that one was Peter. And that servant was Malchus. And Peter was a hothead. Here they came to take his Lord, and he picked up the sword, one of the swords they had, and cut his ear off.
Right.
Cut Malchus's ear off. And Jesus picked it up, put it right back on, and still they crucified him. Still they crucified him. But in verse 54, the Bible says, then took they him, and we're about to see the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And he said, I'll go with you to prison or to death, but I didn't know you really meant it. I'm going to stay back here. I'm going to stay far off. I'll follow you. Tom Sexton said that, he said that he is weary of people that say, I'm behind you, preacher, I'm behind you. Because Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, if you're behind me, you must be with the devil. And Peter was behind Jesus. He followed afar off. Verse 55, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat among them. among the non-believers, if you will, among those that were about to crucify his Lord and our Lord, he sat among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, and he denied him. There's one, saying, woman, I know him not. Then verse 58, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. There's two. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60, Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Think of that. Hours before, Jesus says to Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I'll go with you to prison or to death. No, you won't. You're going to deny me three times. No, I won't. Yep, you're going to deny me three times. once, twice, three times. And before he could get it out, the rooster crows. And I wonder if it echoed in his head, in his heart. What have I done? What have I done? What a painful time in Peter's life. Can you imagine? I realize it was pain that he brought on himself. I realize it was a valley that he decided to go through himself. But I heard someone say that God will never waste our pain. He'll never waste our pain. And he'll use it in our life. And he used it in Peter's life. When he says earlier in the chapter, when thou art converted, he's talking about this particular instance. He's talking about when Jesus, or when Satan, was desiring to have him, to sift him. This is it. He's sifting Peter right now. Right now. And Peter's got to get right with God. He's got to be converted. Got to be converted. So let's look at John 21. And we're still going to see the mercy of Jesus. You might say that was the mistake of Peter. The mistake of Peter kind of trivializes it to say the mistake. It was a great sin. A great sin. But in John 21, John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And if you read there the next few verses, you'll see something very precious. Most of the commentaries that I read say that Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. One for each time he denied him. So think back to Luke chapter 22. Woman, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of them. Do you love me? You know I love you. You know I love you. Forgiveness. It's forgiven. Forgiven.
Amen.
Converted. Converted. Right there. You ever been forgiven? I was thinking about this the other day. I've been forgiven too. Many times. Many more times than I deserve. I remember one time when I was a teenager at youth camp. A long time ago. 17 or 18 years ago. My best friend's name was Walter. And I don't know what I did. I don't remember. But I did something. He was mad. I don't remember. I don't have any. I know it was my fault. But he was mad. And there were several times during the week that we almost fought. I mean, we almost duked it out. And he was bigger and stronger than me, so that wouldn't have worked out good for me. But he's my best friend. Youth camp. We're only there for a week. I mean, good grief. We're already fighting. And I'll never forget the last night of the camp. We've been fighting for most of the week. Last night of the camp. I don't know what the guy was preaching on or teaching on, but he was wanting all of us to go and if we had a testimony or something we wanted to say. He started talking about friends and that kind of a thing. And I got to thinking about my friend Walter, who was sitting a few rows in front of me. Not sitting with me. I was sitting with some other guys I met at camp. Started to cry. I didn't want to cry in front of my new friends, so I got up and left. Walked out of the room. My Sunday school teacher, Tom Pilato, got up and walked after me. What's wrong? What's wrong? I don't know. I told him. He said, well, you need to get back in there and make it right. I don't want to. Well, you need to. So I went back in there. And I stood up, and I don't even know what I apologized for, but I remember saying, I just want to say I'm sorry. Before I could even say the words, Walter had jumped up and kicked his chair out from under him, ran over to me, grabbed me, gave me a big hug, forgave me. I felt good. Got forgiveness. Imagine what Peter felt. I mean, I'm just thinking about what I felt 18 years ago, and I got goosebumps and the hair standing up on the back of my head. But I'm thinking of what Peter might have felt. He must have felt that way. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And three times Jesus said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Yeah. "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know I love you. You know I love you." That did something for Peter. That did something. And when God forgave me, that did something for me too. And when God forgave you, I'm sure it did something for you too.
Amen.
And it helped me, like it helped you. And Peter was converted. He was converted. Jesus said, "When thou art converted, Peter, strengthen thy brethren." What's it going to take? The miracles of Jesus. The mercy of Jesus. Before we go to the next point, I wrote this poem in college I want to share with you. I was thinking about Peter. It doesn't mention his name, but I was thinking about Peter. "I never thought that night at dinner would be the last time we supped, until the joyful fellowship had an ending quite abrupt. The betrayer had been identified, and he fled the scene in shame. His guilt is the one that found him out. No one ever mentioned his name. I never thought that night in the garden would be the last time we prayed. I fell asleep beside the tree, though rest, it seemed, was forbade. I awoke with a start to the clip-clop of hooves. It seemed something was amiss. Then Judas, that wretch, bowed and sealed the betrayal with a kiss. I never thought I would see him again when he hung upon the tree. Then I saw him there on the shore as we fished out on the sea. It's true, he's risen. He's conquered death and hell. The magnitude of his love and grace my lips can never tell." That's what Peter was thinking, I think. He was thinking that on the shore. "It's true, he's risen. And he forgave me." What mercy, what mercy. It does something. It'll convert you. Miracles of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and number three, the magnificence of Jesus, the magnificence of Jesus. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 9, the magnificence of Jesus. Those first two points just build up to this one. Well, the miracles, they had a hand in converting Peter. And the mercy of Jesus, yeah, that had a hand in it too. But now we come to the magnificence of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, the Bible says, "And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings." What are these sayings? Let's stop right there. These sayings are a few days later, 8 days before, excuse me, 8 days before, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they go through the list. And then he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." That was 8 days ago. Now here we are in verse 28. "It came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." By the way, that was Peter's confession. "Thou art the Christ." Peter's confession. "They went up to a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. They feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. This is the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Peter got to be in on that. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. Peter got to be in on that. And he didn't know what he was talking about. That's what the Bible says there. He didn't know what to say. He was half asleep, and all of a sudden he sees Jesus there in glory, in his glorified body. And he sees Moses and Elijah right there. I mean, well, let's just worship everybody. Let's just make it. But wait a minute, 8 days ago he said that thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The only one. There can't be any other ones. Well, let's worship you, and then let's worship. You know, sometimes we're dumb, and we just say stupid stuff, you know. We get caught in the moment. And I have to be careful of that when I'm preaching sometimes, and I don't say something that, you know, just, you know, we get emotional. And that's the way Peter was. And this was bad on a couple of counts. Number one, it brought Jesus down to man's level. And we can't do that.
Right.
He's not just a man.
Amen.
He's not just a man. He's God in the flesh. And number two, it elevated Moses and Elijah up to Jesus' level.
Right.
So it did it bad both ways. I mean, we're not to worship a man.
Right.
We're to worship Jesus.
Amen.
And the Bible says in verse 36, Jesus was found alone. Alone. We're to worship Jesus.
Amen.
But before Peter stuck his foot in his mouth, he saw the glory of Jesus.
Amen.
He saw the magnificence of Jesus. The magnificence of Jesus. And when we see Jesus for who he really is, and it really gets a hold of us, it's going to do something.
Right.
It's going to change us.
Amen.
It's going to convert us. And when Peter saw Jesus for who he really was, notice in the miracles, the first time, what manner of man is this? The second time, that's the Son of God. Then he saw Jesus in his glory, the magnificence of Jesus. Hebrews 1:3, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins,
Amen.
Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." That first part, who being the brightness of his glory, that speaks of Jesus' deity.
Right.
And the express image of his person, that speaks of Jesus' humanity. And Peter got to see that all on the Mount of Transfiguration, right there. He got to see the magnificence of Jesus. Isaiah saw something like it, if you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Very quickly. I didn't look at my watch before I started, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and it changed him. Changed him. He saw the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. And he says in verse 1, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Verse 5, he says, Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And it changed him.
Yeah.
It changed him. When Peter saw Jesus in his glorified state, transfigured, in the brightness of his glory, it changed him.
Amen.
Changed him. Changed him. If we're ever going to be all that God has for us to be, or we're ever going to do all that God has for us to do, all that he wants to do through us, then we've got to see the magnificence of Jesus. We've got to see it.
Amen.
We can't just stop at the miracles. And I'm closing now. I'm closing now. We've seen the miracles. We've seen them. But if all we see are the miracles of Jesus, then all we have for a Lord is a genie and a lamp. Really. That's all we've got. If all we see are what he can do for us. If all we see are the things that he can do for us. If all we see is his mercy, then we're just licentious. We just have license to do whatever we want. We have to see the magnificence of Jesus. We have to see the magnificence of Jesus. It's not enough just to see his miracles. It's not enough just to see his mercy. We have to see his magnificence.
Amen.
We have to see his magnificence. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. And if we see that, if we see it, we'll be converted. And we'll do all that God has for us to do. And God will accomplish all that he has to accomplish through our lives. I want to read some things. Some things that God used Peter to do. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." This is after Peter had preached at Pentecost. The Bible says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That's amazing. That wouldn't have happened a week or two or three before when Peter was still that hothead with a foot-shaped mouth, but he was converted. He saw the miracles of Jesus, he saw the mercy of Jesus, and he saw the magnificence of Jesus, and he was converted, and 3,000 people got saved in one day, at one service. That's amazing, and added to the church. I wonder if they tithed. It's amazing, 3,000 people. But then I printed out a biography that I found on Peter. And the biographer here says that Peter eventually went to Rome, and while there, it is believed that Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, the human penman of the Gospel record of Mark, served as his translator as he preached. It is also believed that as Peter told and retold his experience with Jesus, Mark interpreted time and time again to Christian groups, and by so doing gave Mark an almost verbatim memory of Peter's recollections. After Peter's death, Mark, realizing the value of Peter's firsthand account. Now, this is just what the biographer says. But after Mark realized the value of Peter's firsthand account, recorded what he remembered so clearly in what we know as the Gospel record of Mark. And in this manner, Peter became the source of our earliest gospel. And then the biographer says, "And according to church tradition, the Roman Emperor Nero, publicly announcing himself the chief enemy of God, was led in his fury to slaughter the apostles. And because of the persecution, Peter was crucified upside down." He didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. He wanted to be crucified upside down. And it says, it also says there, some of it's distorted, but I read it online. When Peter was martyred, his wife was also martyred. That was one of the miracles. You know, Peter's mother-in-law was healed. And so we know he had a wife. And I know there's a joke there, but I'm not going to say it. But when Peter was martyred, his wife was also martyred. And as she was being taken away, she was martyred first. And according to tradition, as she was being taken away, Peter shouted out after her, "Remember the Lord!" Can you imagine that? Seeing your wife led away. Can you imagine that? Remember the Lord. I can't imagine that. He was converted. He was converted. He saw the miracles. He saw the mercy. But he didn't stop there. He saw the magnificence of Jesus. And again, if we'll ever be all that God has for us to be, if we'll ever do all that God wants us to do, all that he wants to accomplish through us, we have to see his magnificence. We have to see it. And I'm tired, my own life, I'm tired of just being excited and happy about it when God does a little miracle in my life. It's not all there is. I've got to see the magnificence. I want to be caught up with him. I want to be just all wrapped up in God and in his magnificence. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that, again, you'll seal this message to our hearts. And Lord, help us to get a hold of it. Lord, I pray that it'll get a hold of us, Lord, of me. And Lord, I pray that I won't just be stirred, but I'll be changed. Lord, I pray that you'll do a work through this church because we've seen your magnificence. In Jesus' name.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. While you're sitting there, I want you to think about your life. Many of us have been converted as far as being saved. But has there ever been that point in your life where you've been changed? In other words, you just said, I'm going all out for God. We need to see that. We need to have that in our lives tonight. We've experienced His mercy. We've experienced His miracle.